Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, we're on once a month, and you can find out more about us by going to the internet at spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And if you have any questions for our call this evening, you can call 866. Yeah, wrong number. You can call 646-716-9663. That's 646-716-9663. 9663. And let me go ahead and bring Pam in. Hey, Pam.
Hi, Mark. How are you tonight?
Good, good. I enjoyed, me and Pam were kind of talking a little bit before the show started, and it felt good to kind of catch up, and haven't actually seen you since your birthday, and it's great to hear from you. And as always, I love having you on the show.
Well, thank you. I love being on the show. You always have these amazingly interesting guests that I can't quit talking to.
That's great. I'm gonna let you go ahead and do the intro while I go get her out of the back room. I'll be right back.
All right, great. So tonight, everyone, I'm Pam Latour, by the way. Tonight we have a wonderful guest by the name of Sophia Bothwell. And Sophia is a specialist in freeing people, by the looks of it, from eating disorders and addictions. After recovering from like 5 years of compulsive eating and bulimia herself, she embarked on an 18-month independent research study on eating disorder and recovery in London, England. She became a qualified rebirthing coach, and she wrote the first edition of a book, her book called True Slimness. She's here today to talk to us about how our emotions are linked to our habits of eating and freeing ourselves from those addictions. So I believe, let's see, she's on. Yes, she's on. Welcome, Sophia.
Hi, hi. And it's Sophia. Sorry, it's Sophia.
Excuse me, Sophia.
Yes, slightly different pronunciation.
Well, I've never met you, so it's good to know. Thank you for correcting me. I'm
okay.
Pam Latour.
Hi.
Hi.
Good to
I'm
meet
your
you.
Right. Thank you. Same to you. And thank you for being on the show. Welcome, welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, we were kind of joking around because we know it's like 1 a.m. for you right now. So we really appreciate you. Really appreciate having you on.
It's wonderful
so welcome.
To be here. I love talking about this topic. I love it. So yes, I'll even stay up till the wee small hours to speak about this. It's wonderful.
That's really
Go ahead,
wonderful.
Pam.
Well, I want to start talking to you about how you got involved in, it says very clearly that you had an eating disorder yourself, which is how you got involved in the subject. But how did you get involved in the research, the actual study of it?
Well, that was part of my recovery because I had to research it. I had to have this information and knowledge in order to overcome what I was grappling with.
Mm-hmm.
The diet seemed to be perpetuating my obsession with food and body image. and I was looking for an answer. So I was actively looking for an answer even when I was suffering from compulsive eating, when I was in the throes of binge eating, alternating between eating and just not happy with my size and shape. And we had a second-hand bookshop in the town where I was working, and I was just at the end of my teenage years. I was 18 years of age, so I was still really young, but I had eating under my belt, and which had developed into bulimia. So I knew something was seriously wrong, and I had noticed that the problem was escalating. So in this secondhand bookshop, I found all these books on alternative therapies, on like positive thinking, on emotions, on psychology, pop psychology. And in it, I was able to discover this information. So that was part of my research and the major chunk of it that enabled me to heal. And then, of course, later, some 6 years later, I was in London. I'd already emigrated, and I started to connect with the Women's Therapy Centre in London, which was the leading edge therapy centre and probably is, you know, even today now, on eating disorders and women's issues. And I sat in on a 9-month support group there as a recovered compulsive eater in preparation for setting up my own self-help support groups in London.
See. Well, that's quite ambitious. How long did you stay in the London area and study with this group?
I lived in London for 12 years, but that was a 9-month group, and I was also looking into other addictions as well, because I realized that this was really healing an addiction. This was why it was so difficult, and this is why so many people struggle with it. I wonder why willpower isn't enough. Willpower has never been enough in terms of, and an addiction, when you look at it, is defined as anything that enables you to suppress your feelings or numb yourself to your feelings or distance yourself from feelings. So the very act of eating when physically full, and anyone who has the weight knows that this often has a compulsive quality to it, this act of eating when full. It often has an out-of-control quality to it, this act of eating when full. We need to eat to live. We do not need to eat when full to live. And eating when full is an addiction. It's like people going for a drink, a cigarette smoker, a drug addict going for drugs. A compulsive eater will go for food when full, and it's directly linked with uncomfortable emotions that they do not know how to deal with. Consciously or unconsciously, that's what that craving is for. It's a part of the psyche that's saying there's some emotion, there's feeling, there's some emotional issue coming into my conscious awareness. A little chunk of anger, a little chunk of fear, that anxiety that I've been running away from, that issue with my brother-in-law, that issue with my mother or father, that stuff from my childhood that I haven't quite yet processed, is beginning to surface. That's what's going on underneath a craving. And sometimes all we know is, well, I just got to eat that chocolate cake and I'm already full. I don't know why I don't have a handle on this. So you see, it's a very deep issue. It's not just a matter of willpower.
And how do you think this kind of addiction begins? Before I turn it over to Mark, I just want to ask that one question. How does this addiction begin? For you, how did it begin? And generally, how have you seen it in others?
Well, how it begins is, most things in childhood, we can learn these habits from our parents. I mean, most of us has had a parent stand over us and say, you'll finish everything on your plate. You know, whether we were saying, well, Mom or Dad, I'm full. But they'll say, no, it'd be a waste. It's a waste. You know, finish that food off on your plate. So it can be simple as that. It can be just something that develops in the psyche after a trauma, either a major trauma or a trauma, and it's just a way of coping, a way of keeping the emotional stuff repressed or suppressed that we, you know, the body, the young psyche can't quite deal with. And in adulthood, then, of course, the psyche still tries to process that unresolved anger, fear, trauma, whatever it is. You know, of us, by the time we're 20, we've had some traumas, big ones or little ones, we've all, it's part of life, you know, it's no big deal. It is part of life. Some people have gone through a lot. Some people only have gone through a little. But I'm hearing some echo here. I don't know if you've got that. That's better. Yeah.
I think it's Blog Talk tonight is
okay.
Having a few issues. You kept cutting out for a little while, and now I'm hearing you clearly.
Oh, okay.
So a little bit of echo, a little bit of cutting out. It's just the way.
Okay. Did you want me to repeat anything?
No. I think it was just like pieces of words. I could put it all together. It wasn't. It was pretty understandable, or I would have stopped you.
Okay.
So this is really fascinating because what you're telling me is that, and I was going to ask you this question: what is an addiction? And
yes.
You answered that very clearly before I got a chance to ask. Anything, yeah, you're a mind reader too. Anything that enables you to suppress your feeling. Anything that you go to when you don't want to deal with feelings.
Yeah.
Now, Mark, do you want to jump in here? Do you have any questions? I've been asking a lot.
Yeah, no problem. It's Sophia?
Sophia.
Sophia. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sophia, tell people how to find out more about you.
Well, I've got my website, www.trueslimness.co.uk. That's T-R-U-E, slimness.co.uk. And there's free information there. There's a free download that people can get started straight away and how they can tune into the hunger and fullness sensations. I've got my self-published books on there. So there's a lot of information on the website. I'm on Facebook under Sophia Bothwell and also under True Slimness.
And are you doing some lectures in your area?
Well, we've got some Mind, Body and Spirit fairs coming up in a little town that's close to where I live now, Swansea in South Wales. And, hopefully next year it will be the Mind, Body and Spirit Festival in London in the spring and the one in Cardiff coming up. So I always give a free talk there and I'm there at my table so I can give one-to-one sessions to people and they can arrange follow-on sessions. So I love doing those talks. They're lovely.
So, you know, sometimes when you're in spirituality and you work in a specific modality or helping people, you start to see a common thread. And if you look at addiction and you look at different types of things with weight, what would you say would be like the top couple things that are common that most people are dealing with?
Well, that's a pretty general question. Can you bring it down a bit more specific in terms of causes or in terms with their struggles in actually trying to get a handle on it?
I guess, I don't know. What do you think, Pam? I guess what I'm looking for is maybe a common thread of weight issues.
It would probably be the regaining of weight after losing it. That's what's springing to mind to me. That's the main problem. It's it's the regain. Why do we regain weight when we lose it? I think everyone that has ever struggled with their weight has experienced that. So I say that would be the common denominator. Everyone I speak to has said they regain the weight once they lose it. And why is that? And that is usually because the underlying emotional issues have not been dealt with. It's so vitally important that we deal with the emotional side of things. And this is the main body of my work. It's to face up to the fact that, hang on, I eat when full, when I'm stressed, when I'm bored. Stress and boredom, again, if you're looking for common threads, stress and boredom are the main triggers that cause people to overeat. We live in incredibly stressful times, incredibly stressful. No one has an easy life anymore. Even if we have the materialistic achievements, they still come part and parcel with stress. And boredom. Boredom is another big one. People say to me, I eat out of boredom. I eat one full when I'm bored. So they're the two major emotional issues that people are dealing with. And they will always regain the weight, like I did when I struggled with my weight, until I realized there was more to it. The fact that I was eating when full was directly linked with how I was feeling.
Thank you. What is, you know, when you work with a number of people, what do you think is your biggest aha moment as you kind of have that excitement of being able to empower people?
It's really when I've done the groups with women, it's seeing how women, given a few guidelines, are so supportive of one another. I think it's very key in this time that women are getting away from the competition. And this is where it ties in with body image and the whole competition thing with women. Most of us as women have been brought up with, it's how you look. It's very important how you look, so you attract a mate. So it's quite primal in a way. So this thing of body image and competition, if you like, competing for the man. And when we shove that aside and we say, look, there's plenty of love and romance and there's plenty of partners out there for all of us. Now, can we just support one another through the nuts and bolts of the realities of life, of paying the mortgage, of having a friend to talk to when you feel like bursting into tears after a stressful day at work? When this genuine consideration for each other as human beings, and specifically for women, to get over how they look and to realize it really is a side issue. We will get slim as a result of eating when hungry and stopping when full. Now, we've got life to live. We've got children to raise. We've got families to keep together. We've got a marriage to keep intact. So when women come together to support one another in a weekly support group, It is so heartwarming. That's the most rewarding thing for me, and the most fundamental thing for me in this. And what needs to be revamped in society, it got shoved aside under the glitz and the glamour of Hollywood, really, which is lovely. It's nice to have a little bit of distraction. Goodness knows, and fashion can be fun, and makeup can be fun. And how we present ourselves to the world can be fun, but we still have got to deal with the world of emotions, the world of practicalities, of, as I say, rearing the kids, bringing the children up and educating our children and having a happy family environment and having friends. Creating that, old-fashioned values again, if you like, bringing that back is really wonderful.
What would you say would be the five tips that you would like to give to all mothers out there that are raising young children to allow them to raise healthy children?
Well, the main thing would be to get your own eating sorted. That's the main thing, because when you eat when hungry and stop when full, and when you trust your own hunger and fullness sensations, and when you know that when you fancy a tuna sandwich, it's because you need the protein, you need the specific vitamins and minerals in that food. And it's knowing that it's okay to have a piece of chocolate cake when you're hungry, and trusting your own body that you're not going to binge on it anymore, you know, because you've got a handle on that. If you've got your own eating pattern sorted, it will naturally spill over into your children. It can't be forced. If you've still got some hang-up around your eating, you know, your kids are going to pick up on it. That's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. Now, if you would boil it down to five, I would say just ask your kids, are you hungry? Are you hungry? And let them eat when they're hungry. And ask them, are they full? Respect them when they say to you, Mom, I'm full. Obviously, use a little bit of discretion in there. You know, you're the ultimate authority in your child's life. No one knows your child like you. So, but as a general guideline, just, you know, are you hungry? Are you full? You know, and ask them how they feel and honor their feelings. You know, if they want to throw a temper tantrum, maybe say, yeah, honey, you know, let's just get some pillows out here and we'll thump them with our fists. And yeah, you know, you've got a right to feel angry about that. That was a bit unfair, wasn't it? Now, what shall we do? Shall we go to the play park? Shall we have a little run around? You know, so the more you can just be there for your kids, you know, it's you're providing the emotional backup. You're providing the basic nuts and bolts of, are you hungry? Are you full? Allowing that to be okay. You know, most mothers know intuitively what to do with their kids. It's just a wonderful thing. And trust your own mothering instincts.
That's great. Thank you. Pam? Pam, I can't hear you. Are you there?
Oh, yes, I am here. Sorry about that. My mic was off. I was listening with great interest. I have a few questions. I'd like to know how you deal with eating issues. For example, say, for example, you've always ate a certain way. In other words, you don't stop when you're full. You keep eating. And you deal with, I know a lot of people that are just either bored or stressed, like you said, and they don't stop when they're full. So now you become aware, all right, that's what the issue is. How do I stop it?
Well, and this is what I give free from my website, www.trueslimness.co.uk. It's called the Am I Hungry Handout Sheet. And in it, there's two columns, and it says, get into the habit of asking yourself, am I hungry? So say if you've just eaten a meal and you know you're full, but you think, just want to have some more biscuits, and you have a couple of biscuits with a cup of coffee, and you really know you're full at this point, and you think, I'm craving to eat more. So at that point in time, when you crave to eat beyond physical fullness, ask yourself, what feeling is this? What feeling is this? I'm craving to eat when full. My body doesn't need this food physically, but emotionally I need this food. So ask yourself, what feeling is this? I'm angry, I'm stressed, I'm bored, I'm anxious, I'm fed up, I've just had a fight with my husband, just had a stressful day at work, I'm not feeling too good about that new boss that's been allocated. What feeling is this? So trying to pinpoint the feeling, naming the feeling if possible, and then ask this question, given the fact I feel this way, bored or stressed, for example, what would I like to do now? Not what should I be doing, but what would I like to do now? You know, I'd like to phone a friend, or I'd like to go for a walk, or I'd like to see about booking a holiday for a couple of months down the road, you know, to really get away from it all. So this is the key, these two questions. When you crave to eat when full, ask yourself, what feeling is this? So immediately you're tapping into what emotional issue you're grappling with. So you've brought awareness into it. You've brought clarity. You finally know what you're dealing with. It's not about the food. The food was a means to suppress the emotional stuff. So we're putting food in its proper place. Food is to be eaten when hungry. And it's to stop eating when full. So when we crave to eat when full, we're entering into the realm of unresolved emotional stuff, and that's where our work begins. What feeling is this? And given the fact I feel this way, what would I like to do now? And asking yourself, what would I like to do, taps you into your intuitive ideas about how to deal with what you're grappling with. You can be your own best therapist. What feeling is this? And given the fact I feel this way, what would I like to do now? And that'll set you on a new road, the road to recovery, quite frankly. You can use it for giving up smoking or giving up drinking. Anytime you have a craving, what feeling is this? And given the fact I feel this way, what would I like to do now?
Very good. Now, you mentioned in your little bio that you sent us, something about addiction swapping. Can you tell us about that? Hello?
Yeah, addiction swapping is what happens, or what can happen, when we stop when full. So when we start getting into the habit of more and more of the time stopping eating when physically full, we're creating a clear channel up. That means we feel our feelings more intensely. So again, the tendency could be stuff those feelings down. So it could stop my meal when before you wouldn't have. Be aware of this. If you had smoked in the past and have given up, you might start craving cigarettes again at that point in time because you're creating this clear channel. You're stopping when full. There's a clear channel and emotions are surfacing. And there's still a part of the psyche that's a bit wobbly and saying, oh, I don't know if I can handle that chunk of anger at my mother. You know, it's pretty intense stuff. I don't know if I want to feel this. You know, we don't run away from feelings for nothing. We run away from our feelings because they're uncomfortable. We don't want to feel that way, you know. So the tendency there when we're grappling with the emotions that are coming to the forefront as a result of stopping when, then we could say, oh, I'll just have a glass of wine, or I'll just have a cigarette, or, you know, or maybe even a bit of a compulsive spend on the credit card that's, you know, on that dress that you don't really need, you know, but it's another part of you needs it. So we have to look at these cravings to overspend, cravings to overwork. That's addiction stopping, and it's all a matter of sort of battle almost, if you like, with do I feel this feeling, do I resist this feeling, or do I suppress it? It'll be a constant with you as a recovering addict, really.
Interesting. You know, the Tibetan form of sort of reaching the primal place in your soul is to feel an emotion and then let yourself, let it just be there and dropping into the fear that's underneath that emotion. Because what they say is that every emotion that you feel has a fear that generated it. So it sounds like that's what you're saying.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. I had never heard it put that way before, but it makes a lot of sense because, well, it's in the Course in Miracles as well, isn't it? That all emotions boil down to two emotions, love or fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sitting with the emotions is very important. Often we can do that. We can just sit with it, you know, say, yeah, I'm bored, and just breathe into it and just relax in. That's why I liked breath work, because it allows you to almost meditate on the emotion. You create that space where you could feel your feelings and just breathe, and just breathe, and they do pass. Feelings pass. I think, again, it's the Buddhists to say feelings are like clouds in the sky. They pass. They pass.
That's true. And it's also true. I think I saw a documentary quite some time ago on WUSF. There was a doctor on there, and he was talking about how oftentimes when you think you need to keep eating, you feel you need to keep eating, you're not really hungry, but it feels like you want to keep eating. He said that he thought that a lot of it was in this need to eat. And do you think that might have anything to do with it as well?
Can you repeat that? Because you cut out of me there for a little while.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I'll say it again. But anyway, I saw this doctor on WUSF who was saying that oftentimes when you feel a need to eat, even though you're full, that oftentimes it's generated by thirst. That when you get so dehydrated, you stop being thirsty, and then you just crave
anything.
You crave anything, and it manifests in wanting to eat. What do you think of that?
I think thirst is thirst. We're really boiling it down to three hungers, if you like. One is a genuine hunger, physical hunger. One is emotional hunger, and another is it makes sense that the body would just want anything if you're not responding to the thirst sensation. Again, this can stem from childhood if, you know, your requirements for thirst just weren't met. Maybe you asked your mother for a drink and she wouldn't give you one. It can be as simple as that. She was too busy, or she, you know, in some way she couldn't understand what way you were communicating, or it can get overlooked and overridden. And then as adults, we feel thirst and we don't respond to it. We're a bit busy and we think, oh, yeah, I'll get a drink of water later. Or even we drink coffee or tea or, you know, water is brilliant for thirst. But a lot of people don't drink water. I think with awareness, you can come back to knowing that thirst is thirst. So it doesn't get to the stage that it might do that. I hadn't heard that research before, but I have heard a lot of people do get those two things mixed up, just like we get mixed up between what's emotional hunger and what's physical hunger.
Right.
So what I recommend is it's an overall increasing one's own awareness of what your body's telling you.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
That's lovely. I like the way you put that. Before I turn it over to Mark again, I wanted to ask one more quick question.
Mm-hmm.
As far as boredom goes, you know, your suggestion mm-hmm. was when you feel stress or you feel boredom, just ask yourself, what do I feel like doing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, my big issue is mm-hmm. boredom. I get bored very quickly. I have to be mm-hmm. stimulated a lot. I've got to keep myself mm-hmm. moving in a direction and passionate about a direction. And when that fades, I've got to find another direction. And I think a lot of people are like this,
yeah.
especially right now.
Yeah.
So, but my question is, when I hit boredom
mm-hmm.
and I ask myself, what do I feel like doing? The reason I'm bored is I don't feel like doing anything.
Well, it wasn't really what do I feel like doing, but was what would I like to do now? What would I like to do now?
Okay.
So you might like to have a nap. You might like to have a walk in nature. You might like, yeah, just not to do anything. And that's okay. And that could last for 10 minutes or it could last for 10 hours or it could last for 10 days. You just go with the flow of your own life.
Right. Okay. That's lovely. I like that. All right. Mark, do you have anything else you want to ask right now?
Sure. Let me go ahead and do the break first. I just want to let everybody know you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. And you can find out more about this show and other shows on our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. If you'd like to call in and ask a question about weight loss or different ways of dealing with addiction, you can call 646-716-9663. And that number is up on right in the browser where you're listening to the show. So I guess the question I have is, what do you think is I'm going to actually do that question later. Can you name three different types of spiritual tools that you can use to help a person who wants to mm-hmm. lose weight and is dealing with emotions?
Well, I draw from things that I've used myself. I personally like rebirthing. Any form of breath work, I think, is a good tool to help with the emotional stuff. I like the work of Byron Katie. It's really good to deal with emotional stuff. And the work of Louise Hay, again, just really good. I find them brilliant myself personally.
For people who don't understand rebirthing, can you explain that and explain how that ties in to the underlying emotions that a person might be carrying and from what time period?
Okay, well, rebirthing is a breathing technique that basically helps you pinpoint and resolve emotional issues, especially deep emotional issues. It's a method of focusing on the breath. It's like meditating on the breath. You're with rebirthing coach, and you just breathe in a certain way that facilitates unresolved emotional stuff to surface. So you're actively creating a space through this specific way of breathing called connected breath. It's an unusual way of breathing. We don't normally breathe that way, where emotional stuff, previously suppressed emotions, can surface, and you can work through them with your breath. The whole session would take about an hour and a quarter. It's a really good tool.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny when you said that. I was thinking about a different type of rebirth. And, you know, I'm thinking of those processes that people do where they go back to the time period when they were conceived, you know, when they went through, you know, the birthing process, you know, going through the you know, mm-hmm. being alive for a few years, and how some people feel that a lot of the emotions that we deal with in life really come from that time period. So I'm glad you kind of explained that as rebirthing for finding, you know, the emotional triggers. You know, the question that I was going to ask earlier was kind of like, what do you think is the number one dieting idea out there, and, you know, why do you think it doesn't work for so many people?
I don't like to criticize the methods. I've already mentioned mainstream dieting doesn't tend to deal with the emotional side of things. That's the only flaw, you know. It's well-intentioned, but it just focuses on maybe calorie counting or weighing fat grams, that sort of thing. but it omits completely how we're feeling, or the fact that we eat when full. They omit the importance of the hunger and fullness sensations. So that's the only flaws in them. They omit the hunger and fullness sensations, and the vital importance of the hunger and fullness sensations and abiding by them. And also they overlook the fact that we eat when full because of emotional issues. So that's all I can say on that, really.
You know, as kind of going through the process of working with an individual, you know, I find that when I coach certain individuals, they know that there's something going on. You know, like I could take someone like myself and say, well, I know that I emotionally eat, but mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure why I do it, and I'm not quite sure what I can do to stop doing it. So can you talk about what that discovery process looks like for an individual who knows that they have a problem but doesn't know how to identify it?
Mm. Well, that's why I point people towards the Am I Hungry handout. As I said, that's free from my site. And it starts you on that path of discovery. And you get on that path simply by getting into the habit from now onwards, asking yourself, anytime you think about food or eating, am I physically hungry? Anytime you think about food or eating, just check in with your stomach. Am I physically hungry? Am I physically hungry? So it's like a new mantra, if you like. It's a new habit you're getting into, asking yourself, am I physically hungry, and becoming familiar with the hunger and fullness. And if you're hungry, ask yourself, well, what would I like to eat? So you're throwing the good foods and the bad foods out the window for now. Don't worry about that now. The first thing is to be more in tune with your hunger and fullness sensations through asking yourself, am I physically hungry? And then, what would I like to eat? If you want a chocolate bar, let yourself have a chocolate bar if you're hungry, if you're physically hungry. When we deny ourselves food that we love, when we say, I can't have that chocolate bar, what happens? We want it all the more. And we might go a week denying ourselves chocolate in the name of weight loss. But at the back of our mind, you know, there's that little child that says, I want a chocolate bar, I want a chocolate bar. And hey, presto, come the end of the week, we break the diet and we have 10 chocolate bars. So I say to people, permission is the key. Permission is the key. At this point, in the first few weeks, allow yourself, you know, you're going to have a bit of an unhealthy few days or a few weeks, because you're going to ask yourself, what do I fancy eating? And you're going to start letting yourself have the foods that you've been denying yourself for maybe years, maybe even a lifetime. You've been telling yourself, I can't eat it, I can't eat that food, and it makes us crazy. If you say to yourself, okay, look, there's all of these foods out here, and I can eat them if I want to, and I'm going to learn to trust myself to not overindulge. So after a little bit of overindulgence, it's like those people up in a sweet shop, in a candy shop, and the storekeeper says to them, well, go ahead, eat as much as you want. After 2 weeks of eating, you know, as much candy as they want, they're sick of the sight of candy. They don't want it anymore. So I've been through this myself. It's a wonderful phase. So you realize you don't want to live off chocolate. You realize you don't want to live off cream cakes. Yes, there is chocolate and there is cream cakes as part of your food intake as a healthy eater, but you don't overindulge in them. I certainly don't deny yourself them. You wouldn't. I mean, I've been naturally slim for over 20 years. And there's not a food on this planet that I would deny myself. And there's not a food on this planet that I overindulge in. And I've never eaten when full over those 20 years. So it's a real key to freedom. So your starting point is, am I hungry? And what would I like to eat? And any time I find myself wanting to be full, then check in with the emotions and say, well, right, given the fact I feel this way, what would I like to eat now? What would I like to do? What would I like to do?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I notice when I'm eating is that, I guess because I eat so fast, and it came from being in the military for a number of years, they created a little bit of some bad habits for me. And, you know, the thing that comes into my mind is I don't think I even notice when I'm full or not full. I mean, it's obvious if I'm, if I'm hungry, because I can be, like, coming out of work and, you know, maybe I had, you know, some type of nutritional shake that I really like with fiber and, you know, I have, like, something like that for lunch that I enjoy. And, you know, by the time I get home, I can actually start to feel hungry, and I can feel, you know, almost like the very subtle hints of, like, some of the blood sugar shifting or something like that. But the, I think the question that always comes up as far as my eating habits, using myself as a guinea pig for you, is that I just simply eat, and whatever I eat is basically whatever the portion is that I put on my plate, and I eat it. And I don't think there's any point in the meal that I stop to, first of all, I probably should eat slower. You know, the other thing that comes up is, you know, the question would be is, you know, I don't think there's any time that I ever question myself and say, well, am I hungry? I think generally what I will notice is, okay, I complete the portion that's on my plate. You know, most of the time I don't get another one, and I've been, you know, going small and smaller portions because I'm happier with that. And doing exactly what you say, and that is really having balance, not trying to be abusive in different foods, and trying to go to more proper sizes. I mean, in, at least in the United States, the size portions and places.
You see, that's forcing it. What you're doing is you're forcing it from the outside rather than letting it be something organic from the inside. When we switch from, we don't have to try. I don't have to try and do anything with my portions. All I have to do is know when I'm hungry and know when I'm full. It makes it so simple, so incredibly simple. And the issue of eating quickly, a lot of people talk about this. Yes, at the beginning, it's a good idea to maybe try and just bring awareness into it. So that can sometimes cause you to naturally eat a bit slower. Don't have the TV on. Don't be flicking through a magazine when you're having that meal at the beginning of trying to shift and change your eating patterns. Even if you eat quick, though, you should still know when you're full. It'll just come in as like a click. For me, it was just like a click. Just like suddenly I'm full, and I could have, you know, 3/4 of my plate full of food there. And sometimes people like to see a lot of food. In fact, I talked about this in Fat is a Feminine Issue, the classic from the 70s, and she said sometimes we like to see a lot of food. It's very reassuring. Very reassuring for us, especially if we've had issues of deprivation in the past. So you might want to see a big full of food, and quarter way through it be full, and then you have to deal with your issues of wastage. If you've got a dog, you know, the dog will eat it. If the neighbor's got a dog, the dog can eat it. Or you can wrap it in cling film and put it in the fridge and, you know, have it later when you're hungry or the next day, or put it in the compost bin. Nothing really gets wasted, you know. But yeah, at the beginning, it's better to bring this awareness and slower eating into it, maybe, but it's certainly not necessary. You can eat quick and be aware, and you know when you're full. Simply this intention of, I intend to know when I'm full. And just having that as you're eating, because if you're hungry, you naturally will eat quickly. And it's best to go with that. Just go with it. Don't force anything. Just go with it. Your body is an amazing mechanism. It's an amazing, miraculous, intricate mechanism, and it can provide you with all the information and knowledge that you need. So it's more from the inside out rather than us trying to from the outside in control. It's letting go of control and replacing the control with trust. I'm trusting my hunger and my hunger and fullness sensations. I'm trusting myself to stop when full. I'm trusting myself to know how to handle my emotional issues. So we're letting go of control and trying, and we're just bringing in allowance, permission, and trust.
That's great. Go ahead, Pam.
Would you say, Sophia, that this is a cultural disease? Cultural meaning it's a learned issue that we have to unlearn?
I would say so. We certainly learned it from our culture, yes. I think in the West, maybe not so much here in Europe, we're not really taught how to handle emotions unless we grew up in a very healthy family. But often emotions, we're taught to, well, don't feel that way, you know. You shouldn't feel this way. These are quite common phrases in our world, whereas in more primitive cultures, people would drum out their anger. They would dance out their anger. I've done some African drumming myself, and it's a wonderful, wonderful healing process. You can bond with the people that you drum with. It can release anger. It can help you clear negative emotions in a very healthy way. So yes, a little few shit changes in the culture. If we could dance a bit more, if we could laugh a bit more, if we could, you know, like the Italians, be a bit more passionate. if we speak with a loud voice sometimes when we need to get a point across or something. Just allowing a little bit more emotion into our world. The more we can slowly allow a little bit more emotion into our day-to-day life and know that it's okay, and in fact it's incredibly healthy. So the culture will shift and change. I think it already is shifting and changing. It has been shifting and changing probably since the 50s or 60s to allow emotions to have free rein, to allow people to express in healthy ways rather than suppress in unhealthy ways.
That's good. Let me ask you about communication with the body, because it seems very much like one of the main primal things that you're saying is that we need more of a communication with our bodies so that we can be aware when we are hungry and when we're full.
Yeah.
So, and also your reference to trusting yourself. Well, trusting yourself is actually trusting the body to tell you, to be aware of your body. How do you personally communicate with your body on a daily basis, or don't you? I mean, do you do something in meditation? Do you dance? Do you talk to your body? I mean, in what ways can we enhance the communication with our bodies and know where we are and what we're feeling?
Okay, well, there was a lot of questions in there. so I'll endeavor to go through them one by one. Well, our body is our home. When you think of it, our body is our home. It's where we live. And the way I personally keep up the communication, which I started all those years ago when I overcame my compulsive eating, is that it still is my habit to ask myself, am I hungry? It's more automatic now. Am I hungry? But it's there. I know when I'm hungry. I know when I'm full. And as you say, awareness, it's just an intention to have awareness. I have danced, I have drummed, as I say, I have meditated. I'm not a brilliant meditator, as anyone who's tried to meditate knows it can be quite a discipline, and I've done rebirthing. I've tried many, many different techniques over the years, but the main one is really your intuition, and just have that inner dialogue. How do you keep up this connection with your body? It is an inner dialogue, simply, asking yourself like you would of a beloved child or a beloved partner or a beloved friend, well, how was your day? How are you feeling? You know, are you doing okay? I'm there for you. What shall we do today? What do you think's important in your life? Ask yourself those questions. That's how you tap into your own innate intelligence, your own innate wisdom.
Interesting. Do you think that people try to protect themselves with weight?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. Yeah. It's almost like a protective layer, a buffer between you and the world. This comes up again and again for women. Yeah.
So these
times are difficult. So yeah, it's learning how to navigate this world with other ways of protecting ourselves. How do I protect myself when I'm walking down the street at night and I see someone walking, you know, towards me that looks a little bit inebriated, you know, or does it looks a bit menacing or something, you know? How do I deal with when I'm at a party and I'm getting some unwanted attention? So I ask people to ponder those issues, because fat, a layer of fat, can't really protect us, you know. So what does protect us? Saying a prayer to Archangel Michael, you know, these sort of things. How do we protect ourselves? We must ponder these issues to resolve them, and then we don't need fat to do it for us.
That's good. Isn't it? Tell me what you think about the safety factor. In other words, how do we feel safer in our lives? Because so many people feel unsafe, which is probably generated by the stress in our daily lives. Things, you know, we're always in a fight or flight position. How do we pull ourselves out of that so that we can be more aware, so we do have more communication?
Well, what would you say to a frightened little child? What would you say to your child if your child was frightened? This is what I ask people. What would loving, wise mother say to their child?
I'd say, it's going to be okay. I'm going to take care of you.
Anything else?
I'd say, you can handle anything that happens. Anything that comes up, it's not going to hurt you.
So whatever you need to do, what would make you feel more safe? You know, if it's an issue in your house, do you want to get a burglar alarm? If it's, as I say, if you're walking down the street at night, you know, do you cross over? Well, you know, it's just pondering these issues. And it's also allowing the fear, you know, maybe reading the book Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. Again, the classic book by Susan Jeffers. It's not trying to live a life devoid of fear. Fear can have a very important message. And it's often at the back of bulimia, in fact. In fact, not just fear, but extreme terror, Louise Hay says, is the emotion behind bulimia. We're dealing with this frantic stuffing and purging of like terror. So you can spend like a year processing emotions. In my own life, I've noticed I've fallen into a pattern of 1 year. I'll notice I'll be dealing with a lot of anger issues. So I'll be actively working on anger. Another point in time, it'll be about a year of fear. It'll be a year of sorrow. There's been quite distinct chunks in my life. So as you ponder it, you will find your own answers. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Mark, do you have anything to add here?
Yeah, let's go ahead and start to close down the show. So first thing I want to ask is, you had mentioned earlier in the show, there is a freebie that people can go grab. Can you tell us where to go find that?
Yeah, that's at www.trueslimness.co.uk. That's trueslimness.co.uk, and it's called the Am I Hungry free download. So that can start you on the path to true and lasting slimness.
Mm-hmm. And then talk to us a little bit about what you have available as far as something that can be purchased and what that's about.
Well, I've got the three books. I've got Weight Loss for Blokes. I've got True Slimness, which is 40 weight loss principles. And I've got a small pocket-sized book that's called Simply Full. And I've also got a three-part audio and PDF course there. So that's a really good one to start off with, the audio and the PDF. That's really nice. It covers everything, really, in those three parts. So they're all available from my site. And I do Skype sessions and I do telephone consultations as well. And they can be booked up from my site.
Oh, that's great. And do you have any seminars coming up?
I don't as yet, apart Farm in Swansea, South Wales. I am at the Natural Living Show, which is early in November, but that's probably not much good for your US people. So unless you invite me over, Mark, and arrange some seminars for me, I can.
probably a really, really good idea. So
yeah, no problem.
We always like to close off the show by asking our guests to share with us, you know, in your life journey so far, what do you think is the biggest lesson you've learned so far?
Oh, wow. The biggest lesson. My goodness, I'll be here for half an hour thinking about it. It's to love unconditionally. I think it's the answer to everything. To really just love unconditionally, because everyone's doing their best and the only person we can change is ourselves. So work on yourself. That's what I say to myself. Work on me and then love the rest unconditionally.
So well said, Sophia. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been wonderful.
Yeah, it's great having you on the show. Thank you. And Pam, as always, great to have you on. And we'll be back, everybody, next month on the first Monday of the month. And I wish everybody a happy and safe holiday. And I know down here in Florida, we're just starting to enjoy some of the cold weather. So with that, I want to say goodnight to everybody and lots of love and light. Goodnight, everybody. Thank you. You've been listening.
Goodnight.
You've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio.
Life is but a dream.